What is going on, Swoopers? Welcome back to another episode of Swoop League. This is a super special mid-season episode. We'll be recapping Collingwood season so far with the one and only David King, who has taken time out of his day to come talk to me and come talk to us, answer some of your questions and talk everything. Pies, Kingy, thank you so much for the opportunity, mate.
I love just coming and helping good people who are just doing the right thing and trying to promote a bit of noise around their own footy club. And I think you do a great job. So
thank you.
I wouldn't say yes if I didn't rate what you're doing, but this is a bit of fun.
It is.
I don't know what you're going to ask me or where we're going, but it should be great.
No, thank you, mate. Thank you. Look, I guess we'll start with, I guess, preseason. Your thoughts on the Pies preseason. I know one of the biggest things you said preseason when you were at training was Dacos for the Brownlow, and everyone called you a little bit crazy for that sort of thing just on a couple of training sessions. But it proves you're kind of like a prophet at the moment, because he is just absolutely flying.
Look, I probably saw about, I don't know, between 6 and 8 Collingwood sessions with Josh Gablitz from the AFL.com. We're just getting around, having a look around, and everyone tells me don't learn anything watching those sessions. They can be meaningless, and maybe that's right if you see a basic session here or there, but he was just a phenomenal runner.
Yeah.
Like, he just explodes every session. Every session's life and death. His hunger for the footy. I've never seen a player call for the ball as often when he's in the right or wrong position as he does. And I just thought, what will he become? And I think we're starting to see him now go centre forward, be more damaging than probably what he's been. Wasn't his best game yesterday, but no, I think he's a rare beast in that he can play all positions at a high level. And I was excited by what Craig was telling me as well.
Yep.
The beauty of preseason training is there's no pressure on the coaches.
Exactly.
Often they come and have a chat, as you'd know, and and you learn some information you don't have the luxury of getting during the year. So now, I was excited by Collingwood's season from a very early stage.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you also said, talking about, you know, Dacos, how he was a bit of a chameleon. You also said you couldn't put you were talking to Kane Corns early in the season. You said you couldn't even put, Chris was coming into the midfield. There was a lot of players that you just couldn't put in one position. Everyone was sort of, they were learning everyone's sort of role.
Yeah. And I guess this is the beauty of Craig McRae's plan, is that, okay, they start in a nominal position and they move from there. And he's orchestrating a system that allows the power pieces, if you like, to play major roles. Degoey, Crisp, Pendlebury, the Dacos boys. They play with freedom, and they run, and they just explode. They go where the ball is, and they outnumber constantly.
Yep.
And if they lose that outnumber, well, that's okay, because the team gets beaten, not the individual.
Yep.
So I love the plan. Does it have its warts? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We probably saw a couple yesterday. Maybe they were ripe for the picking yesterday.
Yep.
I'm not sure. But I love the plan. I think it's new age, and I think it'll take some time for the competition to catch up to this plan.
Yep.
So you've got to win the flag when you've got something unique.
Yeah.
That's the pressure now, is to not just get there and be a good team and be a top four team and have a nice year and go back to back for a couple of prelims. You're going to win it.
Exactly.
That's the challenge now.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, the hardest sort of thing. Look, we're flying at the moment. We're sitting first, 11-2. We did have that loss to Melbourne yesterday. But how have you seen Collingwood's season so far up to the midway point?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty consistent.
Yep.
You sort of look at what threats they pose, and this is where I'm a numbers man. I keep coming back to the numbers. You know that more than most. So if you have a look at their mid-year report, their mid-year review, if you like. So what they do well is with the footy. So they're only behind Port Adelaide over the last 6 weeks for their ability to damage from any position on the ground anytime they get possession. So that's a fantastic asset to have. Their ability to score when they go inside 50 is amongst the top 4 or 5 in the comp. Their ability to move the ball is amongst the top 2 or 3 in the comp. There is one thing that I've got my eye on at the moment. Their ability to win the ball back between the arcs
Okay.
has dropped off a fair bit in the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that can be talent related, but mm-hmm. but right now they're 14th.
Oh wow!
So that's a wow. Anytime you're down with so there's always a couple of givens down the bottom.
Yeah.
So there's an 18th and a 17th, which is generally going to be North Melbourne and the West Coast.
Eagles,
so
yeah.
If you're 14th, you're nowhere near the top, you know, yeah. four or five teams. So that's a problem for me. And their pressure's dropped off a little, which is a strange one because they have so many numbers around the ball.
Yeah.
So there'd be a couple of little asterisks there or alerts for Craig McRae to work with. Their clearance game wasn't evident yesterday.
Yeah.
It was held to two goals yesterday from clearance. That's been a major weapon of the Pies for the first sort of 6 to 8 weeks. It's dropped off a little bit in the last four or five. But in the main, I think it's a really good profile. The challenge is to hang on to it for 25 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's tough to do.
It is. And you mentioned that earlier in the season, and we had a bit of a tweet conversation about it. I think we might have been 3-0 up or 4-0 up. If the Pies can maintain this, because you don't want to peak too early. And you can kind of see over the last few weeks, we have been dropping off like a little bit, like the Kangaroos game, you know, letting them kick 6 or 7 goals in the last quarter. West Coast leading them come within 9 points. It's kind of like, to me anyway, from the outside sort of looking in, they were just wanting this bye. And I think the loss, like you said, we were pretty much ripe for the picking. You could see that we were down the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I just feel like Melbourne played their best game for the whole season. But they absolutely choked any sort of run that we had. Any excitement, you know, Fly came out and said that as well. And I think, there's a lot of fine-tuning to go into the second half of the season.
Been up for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're right. And I know you touched on the fact there may have been some a flu of sorts go through the group.
Yep.
They just didn't look themselves yesterday. And I think it's a good time to have a loss. I talked on radio this morning about the team that wins the flag generally gets their house in order, post-bye. Like Geelong won 16 in a row last year.
Yep.
I think Melbourne won 8 in a row. The Tigers of a few years ago, I think they won 10 in a row.
Yep.
So you've got to get on a run in the back half of the year. This is why I'm excited, because I look at the players that you've got to come back. We haven't really seen Jeremy Howe.
No.
DeGoey comes straight back in. Elliott when he's healthy. Sidebottom when he's healthy. McStay's knocking on the door the next couple of weeks. So there's five players. There's five spots that you're basically upgrading.
Yep.
So the version of what you are now is only going to be enhanced. So that's where I get really excited. And I'm looking at rounds 18, 19, 20
mm-hmm.
to see what the best of Collingwood is.
Yep, in the kind of lead-up. And look, you touched on McStay. I feel like for a lot of years since, you know, the departure of Travis Cloak, Chris Dawes, we've always been looking for that big forward. And we have Brody Majacek, who is an absolute powerhouse. He does exactly what he needs to do, gets beaten and bruised, and that's why we acquired McStay. Didn't play yesterday because of his finger as well. There's a lot of knock on him, from Collingwood supporters as well, not showing what he can sort of do. But I think he is a bit of a missing piece to, like Tom Mitchell was and Billy Frampton. I think McStay is a missing piece of the puzzle because Majacek can't do it himself, and we're not going to win a premiership with just Majacek in that forward line.
No, I think Majacek and McStay are very similar.
Yep.
Can take contested marks, can work up the ground, can be a part of transition play. Can be a part of that last line forward option. So your high ball to the goal square, he can contested mark as good as anyone.
Yep.
So I think he's a canny selection. I understand the negativity, and we're not here to fight that. We're really not. We're just here to say this is what he can be. I mean, I think he's a guy that can kick 2 goals for you in a final.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hoping that's a prelim.
Yeah.
Or you're hoping that's the first final that gets you a home prelim.
Yep.
He's that sort of player. I don't think he's ever going to come and kick 5 goals.
Yeah.
That's not
him. That's not his game style.
He's a workhorse. He's a guy that he hits up at the ball carrier, so they create a lot of space in behind.
Yeah.
So they allow the system or the formation forward of centre to work really well. He's a high tackle player.
He is, yep.
You don't get that from a Cox type. Johnson's been up and down.
Yep.
We like what he's 100%, bringing.
Yep.
But you've got just genuine competition for spots now. I mean, if you're leaving a McStay out, you're in a pretty good space.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You're leaving a Johnson out, you're in a pretty good space. So to me, it's just an elevation of what you've already got. And if you don't choose that upgrade, then you're playing pretty good footy.
Exactly right. Look, one thing I do want to touch on, you touched it on, I think, last week. and I loved it, the McRae sandwich.
Yeah.
And I see you got it in your notes there. It is what it is. Like for the last 2 years, that's exactly what we've been. One of the best teams in the first quarter, one of the best teams in the last, and you can attribute to that Jared Wade, the high performance manager, and what he's been able to do with the Pies fitness. If we're, you know, running those last two minute plays at training more than the competition is, but what do you kind of put it down to? And do you think that that's something that can be sustained and you can win a premiership with, you know, your second and third quarter, and the third quarter is known as that sort of premiership quarter. Can you really win a lot of finals with only two quarters in a sense?
Well, prior to the weekend's game, you were plus 115 points first quarter, plus 27 in the second, plus 11 in the third, then plus 161 in the last.
It's crazy.
So tops and tails, we call it the sandwich. And it was the same, it was exactly the same yesterday. I like teams that start fast.
Yep.
Because then you get to dictate from the coach's box what the game should look like. I think they do this by design.
Okay.
I think they gap the opposition early if they can.
Yep.
And they play a safer game plan after that. Not take as many risks with the footy. Don't expose yourself to cost on turnover. And then if the scoreboard tells a story that you need to score, mid-third, late, you know, in last quarter of games, then they have got the ability to switch it again and take some risks and open the game up. So I think this is next-level coaching. I'm a massive fan of Craig McRae, and I just think that what he's been able to do here, in conjunction with his assistants, I'm not denying that Justin Lepich and those guys have a say as well, but I think this is next-level. I don't think you can play 120 minutes of every game, 100% rat power, and expect to be there at the end of the season.
Yeah, and do you think, so this is something that we can kind of maintain. We talked about that sort of rage going all the way through. We saw it a lot, you know, in the finals last year as well, and Craig McRae came out and said that every week last season they were learning something new until they sort of got that finished product, and which we're kind of seeing throughout this year. You know, we went on a big undefeated run, and then, you know, eight or nine game win in a row before we lost to Melbourne. Is that something that, you know, it's very exciting for the Pies, but is that something that the other teams, like Melbourne did yesterday, that they can kind of unravel a little bit?
Look, every team has reasons they win and vulnerabilities where they can be exposed and lose any given game, home and away games, finals, whatever. I think what this plan does is it makes some contests more critical than others.
Yep.
The contest across that half-back flank area or centre half-back where they over-invest, they might have 6v4, 6v3, they'll release off opponents that are behind them charging towards the goal square to come and support. And that crunch contest, if you don't win that, it's a walk-in goal for the opposition. We saw that against Brisbane.
Yep.
When they kicked, I think, 10 goals in a row. And it just looked like, hey, give up on this plan, you know, go to something else. But this is who you are.
Yeah.
So you've got to stick fat to what the plan is, because it's the reason they're stacking so many wins. I mean, what have you lost, four home and away games in 2 years?
2 years, yeah. So it's been crazy.
It's been crazy, hasn't it? I mean, this is a list that there was some questions on when Craig took over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they ripe to go again? They've let some players go, blah, blah, blah. I love it. Because I think if it works big.
Yep.
Now they haven't quite had the full complement of talent, and that's why I'm saying I'm excited by round 18, 19 this year, if we can just get through the next few weeks and see what it looks like. Because there's no doubt high quality players make better decisions.
Yep.
And if you can have Chris Pamborn to Degawi, Hamborn to Pendlebury, you know, giving it to Nick Dacos, India Ford, like, you're going to school.
Yeah.
So let's wait and see. Health's your best player come finals. So you need a lot of luck to win them. But the plan itself, it can be exposed if you lose that contest at effectively Collingwood centre half back.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think there's some work to do with that last kick inside 50
yes.
actually getting on the scoreboard, because yep. they're leaving some scores on the table.
Yeah, and we saw that yesterday. I think at one point we had 54 or 45 inside 50s and we were going at 33% scoring from those inside 50s. And it's just that mid to forward connection. Craig came out and said that as well. And it's something that we've been lacking even before Craig McRae, you know, even with Nathan Buckley as coach. It was that mid to forward connection. And I think that's a big part. You know, you mentioned Elliot not being in there, McStay also not being in there. Then you have to sort of make shift. You had Reef McGuinness come in, Will Hosking, Elliot. They didn't perform as well as they should have, but it's that upgrade that we're sort of looking for. So what has been your positives out of Collingwood season so far, or players, or whatever it may be?
Yeah, look, in simple terms, you want to go through the players?
Yeah, let's go through players, yeah.
I think, let me see, your biggest win's been Nick Dacos.
Yep.
We've talked a lot about him. I think the Goey season's been incredibly consistent, and he's had big moments in games where he's needed him.
Yep.
So I think that he's just become that player now that's super consistent. You can bank on him every week. Darcy Moore would be the All-Australian fullback, centre-half back for me.
Yep.
His ability to intercept is elite. I don't think he's taking as many risks with the footy as what he did in years gone by.
Yep.
So he's a lot safer. Tom Mitchell's probably been a great steal, really.
Yes. Yep.
As a trade. I love the off-season acquisitions of Frampton, Mitchell, McStay, well, we haven't seen.
Yep.
We haven't really seen
too much of yet.
The best of him yet. And there's one more who was
Bobby Hill.
Bobby Hill.
He's just been phenomenal.
But some of the stuff that Bobby's doing is just ridiculous, isn't it? So I look at that and I think, okay, where to for those guys? You know, are they there come pointy end? I don't know. Cy Bottom's been terrific on a wing. Josh Dacos has been terrific on a wing. So I don't think you want for anything.
Yep.
So in terms of players, there's not too many that are underperforming.
Yes, agreed.
I'd like to say, I'm a big believer in Bo McCreary defensively.
Yep.
I still think he's got so much scope and dare
to give.
Yep. To improve with the
100%.
Footy. He uses his speed, I think, exclusively defensively.
Yep.
I haven't seen him say, you know what, I'm faster than anyone out here and I'm going to take a couple of bounces and go that next step.
Yep.
I think he's got a four-goal game in him soon.
Wow, yep.
That we just haven't seen yet. So that's a belief thing for me. The most excited I'll be about the Pies is when I see what they do with Jeremy Howe.
Yep.
So I don't just think he goes back to a half-back flank anymore. I think your back line is really settled.
Okay.
I think you can explore maybe a wing role.
Interesting.
which maybe gives you Josh Dacos in other areas, or does he go to half forward and play that high half forward role, floating up and back with the footy?
Wow.
An elite runner, and imagine the threat then of him, you know, taking a mark going forward, saving you going back. He's the one for me, because I think it's underrated. His ball use is underrated, and his ability to win the ball back for you, we've seen at half back. But I've just got a feeling that Craig McRae wants to use him in a different role this year rather than halfback.
Yeah, I think I haven't even thought about chucking Jeremy Howe as a half forward. Mm. And even that threat in a final, if we need someone performing up there as well, like you said, he can take a good mark. That's such a good idea.
The other one that I reckon's having a sneaky good year, and those that are watching it closely like yourself already know this, but Taylor Adams to me... His decision-making, he hasn't just been the clearance player. He hasn't just been a half forward. He's been a mix of all things. But I've loved his centre forward use. And he's not necessarily getting big numbers, but I think he's having the most impact that he's had for quite some time.
Yeah, he's really improved. And there was a lot of knock on his kicking from fans going into, you know, any games or this season. But yeah, like you said, that Tom Mitchell acquisition, getting Tom Mitchell, you know, not only were we like 17th or 16th for clearances last season and scores from clearances, he has helped that definitely, because we're now up in the top four or top six in regard to that. But what he's done for DeGoey, Taylor Adams, Crisp as well, he's just making everyone better around him.
And he's, I don't know whether this is coaching or whether this is the player, but he knows he's not a kicker. So he's 10 kicks, 16, 17 handballs.
Yep.
And that's all they need him to be. Win the ball for us and then get it to the playmakers. And sometimes it takes a bit of a clip, whether it be second, you know, moving to the third club for Tom.
Yeah.
And being read the right act, hey, this is your role, you know, stick to your role. But yeah, Tom's been terrific. The other one I probably haven't mentioned are the halfback flankers. Mm-hmm. Quaynor is probably a player that I judge really harsh.
Yep.
But he's been really good, really solid. And Johnny Noble, he's another one who gets a lot of negative feedback.
He does, yeah.
He's super creative. And when he runs, when he goes, he commits.
He does, yeah.
And I think that's an asset that's underrated, just providing another option. Yeah, ball use is about options.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got to run, you've got to spread. You know, if you've got three options to choose from, it makes the game pretty easy. If you've got one or two, you can get quite tight with the footy. So I think Collingwood have mastered the handball game. When they're forced into a kicking game, it can change.
Yep.
Particularly out of the back half. But now there's a lot to like.
Yes. Look, before we get into some fan questions and talks about the season in general, because I really want to touch on, you know, the other teams and where everyone sort of looks at the end of the year.
Yep.
Where do you see, so seeing now at the start of the season, you told Kane Corns that, you know, you could see the Pies winning the flag. Now we're sort of Port Adelaide coming up there. We're sitting on top of the ladder. Healthy percentage, which we haven't seen from a Collingwood side in a long time. Where do you predict us, you know, at the pointy end of the season? I know you said you want to wait till rounds 18, 19, 20 to kind of see what a best 22 will look like with all those players returning. But with the football that you've seen so far and with the personnel coming back, is it time to sort of hope that, you know, we might... We've had 27 losing grand finals. You know, is there hope that this might be the one?
Look, all you got to do is qualify one or two, and that's all you can think about at the moment. Top four, obviously, everyone talks about, but really, it's one or two for me, and then you get the opportunity to win at the MCG. They've all got to go through Chicago.
Yeah,
they've all got to win at the MCG. I think you'll have a crunch game against Melbourne, whether that's first week or third week,
yep,
prelim final week. So that's the reality. You got to win the big games, but you've got the Crows, Gold Coast, Dogs, Fremantle at the MCG to come, and then you've got the tough one in round 19 against Port Adelaide. So I think you're going to stack enough wins,
yep,
and there's enough separation there on the ladder now to guarantee, in my opinion, top four. But you want to be top two. I think they'll finish top two, if not top. And then it's just a matter of execution. Port Adelaide do a lot of things well. They've got this young midfield that are taking all before them, become a super reliant clearance team, and speed and breakaway speed from stoppage.
Yep.
That's hard to handle, but we saw what you did to them at the MCG.
Yeah.
Round two or three, whatever it was.
Yep.
They couldn't contain Dacos. They couldn't get that tag right. I think your back line doesn't have too many issues with their forward line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not as concerned by that matchup. In saying that, round 19 is a long way away and a lot can change. I don't think Collingwood fear anyone's game plan.
Yep.
It's just a matter of performing and executing on any given day. So yeah, I'm not concerned or daunted by that. The talk of winning flags is not for today. I think you just got to qualify.
That's fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. And look, let's get on to the season just in general. We've seen lots of movers and shakers this season, lots of, you know, sliding doors moments. Someone that, or a team that I've been super ecstatic about, you know, obviously besides Collingwood, has been the Gold Coast Suns. Mm. What Stewie Doo has done for them, their young brigade. At the start of the season, I had them finishing for anywhere from 8th to 10th. And I think they're just so fun to watch now.
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. I didn't really understand the commentary around if Hardwick's gettable.
Yep.
You know, it's his job. Last year, if Clarkson's gettable, it's his job. This year, it's Hardwick's. I don't really understand that. I think you've got to reward performance, and the coach has done an outstanding job. And the wins are the last box that's ticked.
Yep.
You know, I look at how they're playing. They've got the best contest team when the ball's in general play in the competition the last 6 weeks.
Wow.
They're only behind Fremantle as the best clearance team the last six weeks. They've got the second best behind Port Adelaide scores per inside 50. So Ben King's made an unbelievable difference to their forward line. So I think they're a different... Everyone's got a bit of lag with the Suns. They're thinking of the Suns last year. And I don't know if the people that make comment are watching them as diligently as they should.
Yeah.
It's a flippant comment to say, there's his wins, there's his losses, move him on.
Yeah.
They're a different team right now than what they've ever been.
100%.
And I don't know whether they make finals this year or not, but what I do know is that this group now believe in what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big improvement on where they've been.
Yep.
They're doing all this without Tuukka Miller.
Yeah, 100%.
And there's a kid called Connor Butterick, who I'm a massive fan for. He did his knee last year, and he's only a few weeks away. Lockie Weller's only a couple of weeks away. So they'll be almost at full health when those guys return. I can see them making finals next year. And then I think it's bang. They become a destination club again.
Wow.
You attract free agents once that's the case. And things can shift pretty quick. They've been losing players for years.
Yes.
Once they start coming back the other way, which is what Brisbane have done,
mm-hmm.
then I think things change.
And do you think, like, you know, there's lots of talk of Ben King, you know, clubs poaching him, St Kilda, the Pies sort of looking at him rumour-wise. Do you think that this kind of gives them the opportunity to say, look, this is what we're building, this is what we've built, stay with us for the long run?
He's going nowhere.
Yeah.
He's going nowhere, Ben King. He's super happy up there. He loves the environment. He loves the coach. He can see it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And he's playing. Once they start playing good footy, you want a good reason to leave. I mean, he's going to be handsomely paid.
Yeah,
he's in an environment that now is tailored for him. You know, it's easy for us outside looking and say, I'll come home to St Kilda, or I'll come home to Melbourne and do whatever. Would he get the same supply at Melbourne? Would it work with two tools at St Kilda?
Yeah.
He's going to get some great offers.
100%.
I think he'll knock them all back and stay.
Well, that'd be huge just for Gold Coast, you know, losing Tom Lynch and Pressier and all the likes of that. Look, who has been, I think I might have the answer to this, the biggest disappointment of the season?
The biggest disappointment? The Swans have fallen off the face of the earth.
Yep.
Carlton have had enormous trouble just putting teams away or hitting the scoreboard or finishing their work, and I feel for Vossi, but they've been a disappointment. The Western Bulldogs have been a disappointment.
Yes, yep.
I think North Melbourne, in my opinion, have been a little bit disappointing.
Okay.
Haven't quite hit the heights that I thought they may have hit. Who else is there? I think the rest have been pretty much as we saw. Richmond probably a bit disappointing for the first 8 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Have found their groove
kind
of now.
Good now. Yeah.
But the year may be a fraction too late, too little too late. So there's always a few. And as long as there's, you know, tangible reasons. I mean, the West Coast are disappointing. Incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think we always have three or four that don't hit the mark. But those that are in absolute crisis, you'd say the Eagles, Carlton, and probably to a lesser extent Sydney.
And Sydney, where do you think their major drop-off has sort of come from? Like, we talk about, you know, their huge loss in the grand final, and, you know, I haven't played football at the top level, obviously, but, like, is that something that does play on the mind of lots of teams going in? And I guess kind of the same with Carlton, the Pies knocking him out by 1 point. Do they try to overcorrect too much, or what do you think it is?
Well, they were unlucky with losing centre-half, back, full-back, and back pocket for some time. But the bottom line is, I don't think they've been as effective with the footy. Last year they were piercing with their kicks. Their ball movement was just ridiculous.
Yep.
It was aggressive. It was these young brash kids just taking the game by storm. You know, we talked about Warner every week and Campbell and Goulden and, you know, Wicks and then they're able to find a way to score. Papley was on fire forward of centre, and they had the stability of Heaney, Mills and Parker to run the show. For whatever reason, that they don't look that same team. They're not playing with that same dare. And then Buddy's just dropped off a fraction. Heaney hasn't been the All-Australian player of years gone by.
Yes, yep.
And all of a sudden they look vulnerable on the edges, and you start worrying about, you know, 2025 and beyond. So there's small margins this game. Not a lot has to go wrong for it all to go wrong.
Exactly.
And their ball movement, I'd say, is the reason they're in this situation.
Yeah, interesting. All right, look, what we're going to do is, I on Instagram and on Twitter, asked for some fan questions. So I'm just going to grab my phone.
It's generally not a happy place for me, Twitter.
Oh, look, and I want to actually, before we go into that, look, I'd love to touch on that, because Twitter, I guess social media just in general, unfooty sort of related, it is sometimes a dark place. I'd love to know, and I've copped it as well for the last couple of years.
I saw you in a rough couple of days, actually.
Yeah, yeah, the last couple of weeks have been pretty crazy. You know, it's just the normal sort of trolls on Twitter, and you know, people say, don't let it get to you, but it's to a certain extent, you try not to, because I don't have faces, and they're just cowards in general, but they're still words, they're still biting words, it still sort of gets to you. How do you kind of, and I've seen you cop it as well, you know, how do you kind of deal with that? Is it just set and forget, or what do you? I know the block button is really nice, but yeah. How do you kind of deal with that mentally? Or,
well, the boys have laughed at me because I've blocked, I think it's 1,005. So my theory is just to not tolerate.
Yes. Yep.
You know, certain behaviour, and maybe there's nights where I have a thinner skin than others.
Yep.
But I just don't see the benefit in me going on there to cop that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Yep. So I just block them. If no value, and I have great conversations on there. I really engage. I love what you do. I follow a lot of people that follow their club closer than we can.
Yes. Yep.
So basically, we're in a role where you're trying to follow 18 teams on a part-time basis as a full-time role.
Yeah.
So when you are talking about your team, you're following one team week in, week out. You're a full book on what they're doing. So why wouldn't I listen
exactly
to what I don't have to agree with it.
Yes.
But you might say something that says that alerts me to a problem or an asset, and I go, well, let me have a look at that. That's interesting. I find that fascinating. So I listen to the passionate fan. And I like that. I enjoy that. So that's unfortunately, to get that, you have to wear a bit of the other stuff.
You do.
But you don't have to tolerate it.
Yeah.
So I just block them and I just move on. But you do have to be in a space where you're comfortable to go on. You don't want to be in a vulnerable sort of, you know, emotional state when you go on. And that's up to us. We can choose whether to believe it or not. And just dust it off. I saw your altercation or the stuff that was leveled at you last week. I sometimes have to stop myself from getting involved, but I'm glad you got through that. You had plenty of support, which
Yeah, I did. And look, that's the flip side of social media. You make so many friends and, you know, people that just sort of love what you do, or just, you know, like you as a person who want to, you know, see you not so much succeed, but just see you be happy. And that's, you know, you do have the trolls and stuff, but you do have the people that are just with you throughout it all, which is amazing. The support's great. I think my biggest problem is that if someone says something like, you know, you're this, you're that, it's like I can just block it and sort of forget, but I always want to be like, no, I'm not. This is, you're wrong. Like, I'd love to show you my point of view. So it's always, I'm always battling with myself in regards to, do I just like forget about all these negative things that they're saying, block them, or do I just say, look, let's have a chat about it? Because people only see what they want to see, and you probably get that as well.
What I've learned through the hard way is that once they start with that angle, you can't have a rational conversation. You can't win them back. So it's easier just to move on. I've fought many a losing battle trying to say, look, this is all I do. This is, you know, in our job, we create an opinion. I'm vision and numbers driven.
Yes, you are.
If I see it, I'll work it out. And sometimes the numbers say, have a look at this.
Yep.
So I'll go and have a look and try and work out what clubs are doing. But it's never absolute. It's never 100% correct, 100% wrong, or anywhere in between. There's grey area in footy everywhere. So your opinion is no less important than mine.
Yes,
and it's not right nor wrong, but I want to hear it.
Yes.
So I say keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And all fans, keep doing it. If you think something, you know, I just don't like the veil of negativity that's on Twitter at the moment. It's all consuming. So you got to have a few positive friends on there.
You do. No, awesome. No, thanks for that pep talk. I kind of needed that. But look, let's go into some fan questions if I can get my phone up. Awesome. All right. So, cool. So we'll start with these ones from Instagram. Ned.crummy says, how big of a loss was De Goey? We were dominated in the middle yesterday. It was a bit hard to watch.
Yeah, huge. I think he's worth 4 goals. Yep. He's more often than not kicking one or two himself. Mm-hmm. But he runs that wing line. So he's always corridor and he's always running that wing line. And they give him the ball in flow. So he's a handball, received player in flow, and then he makes the right choice with the footy after that. That player is so critical.
Yeah.
If he decides to handball off again to a player in a better position, that's generally a lesser ranked player with more time. So you elevate their opportunity to have quality with their disposal, or he'll be the kicker. If it's time to kick, he'll kick to a player that's got an advantage forward of that position. So I'm a mad fan of Jordan Degoe. I think he's one of the top, you know, 5, 6, 7 players in the competition. Oh, wow. So look at his year this year. So he's having his best year by the champion data numbers that he's ever had. And that includes a down game against the West Coast in terms of influence. So he's been able to hit the scoreboard pretty much every second week. He's a goal a game, 35 against North, 31 against GWS, 28 against Essendon, all games that are rated through the roof.
Wow.
Now, he's a finals player.
He is.
He's a guy that can win his own ball, catch and kill his own, and then make sure it goes on the scoreboard. So sometimes it's good to have a look at your team without that sort of player in for a week or two.
Yep.
He'll come back. He's been through this sort of situation before where he misses a block, and he'll be an asset coming to the finals. He's a Norm Smith medal type player.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? Look, ZMCG_032 said, is there still a piece of the puzzle that we are missing? And we kind of touched on McStay and those players coming through. Do you think there's a piece of the puzzle? Well, player-wise, we talked about, but sort of game-wise, between the arcs, is that the sort of piece of the puzzle?
Look, if you could ask for one player to have significant impact in the back half of the year, you probably need one key forward to command their role, and that's whether that's Majacek, McStay, Cox, Johnson, whoever it is. If you could say, look, we're going to get 2 goals a game out of this player through a final series, You'd be thrilled.
Yes.
I'm not sure you've absolutely got that player at the moment. You sort of have to manufacture, and it's different players every other week. So that's why I'm looking forward to seeing the forward line with McStay and Majacek primarily doing what they do. And then you've got a decision to make. Is Cox still in the team? You know, do you need the 2 ruckmen? Can you go with a hybrid second ruckman and then have more run again? Is Jeremy Howe forward? Is he wing? Is he back? You know, they're the sorts of things that make a huge difference to your makeup. What if Howe can come back and be a high half forward that can get involved in those running possession chains, that handballing game, but can also pinch forward and kick 8 goals through a final series?
Yeah.
So that's why I get excited about the Pies, because we haven't seen it yet.
No, beautiful. Sean Makes Apps says, other than Nick Dacos, is there a future 300 gamer in the team that's under 26?
Under 26, let me have a look. Under 26, future. Well, I'm a massive fan of Bo McCreary.
Yes,
trying to have a look at how old Bo, he's not that old, of course, but just trying to have a look. So you got, well, Braden Maynard's going to play a stack of footy. You got the 2 Dacos boys. Bobby Hill's still pretty young. Look, if I had to nail one down, I'd probably say Bo McCreary, when he works out how good he can be. I still don't think he understands.
Yeah.
Or has the confidence to become a rip, tear and bust.
Yeah.
I'd love him to train with Jordan Degoe, just isolate him with Jordan Degoe and say, why aren't you doing, when he does this, why don't you try that? I still think he's exploring. You know, he's only played 50 games of footy. He's only 22.
Yes. Yep.
So at 22, you're not the finished product. But I just think he's got so much more to give this guy.
Do you think a couple of, you know, Collingwood fans, they kind of compare him, not speed-wise, but that sort of, you know, that tearing through the opposition, much like a Dane Swan used to do.
Yeah, right.
You know, Swanee wasn't quick by all accounts, but he did have that sort of bigger body, and he would, you know, tackling goals. And like you said, I think that's something that Bo can definitely add. And then if you add speed to that, he can literally be anything that he wants to be.
Well, it's amazing how often goal-kicking half-forwards have separated grand finals, prelim finals. They've been Norm Smith medalists regularly. He's that type of player to me. Like, he doesn't need a lot of disposals to be a significant impact player. I just know that the slant on his role at the moment, this is probably by design from Craig McRae, is all about defensive pressure and harassment.
Yep.
But there will come a time where he says, I can still do that, but I can also do this.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see him go from a, what is he? He's 7 kicks, 4 handballs at the moment. I'd love to see him become, you know, 10 kicks, 2 handballs.
Interesting.
Or 14 kicks, 2 handballs. Yeah, try and elevate that, the opportunity with the footy, get his possession rate up only fractionally, not massive, but do more with it, take more risk, take more players on, and finish the goals himself.
Yeah, that was, and we saw that sort of finish against Carlton last year.
Yeah.
That beautiful goal from about 50
he
out.
Can do it, tight
he can, he yeah. can. Eden underscore Feb asks, what is the biggest thing that would stop the Pies from going all the way this year?
Oh, not a lot. I think that critical contest at centre half back.
Yeah.
And it can win them games and it can also lose them games. So we've only seen them lose a few games, so it's a small sample size, but we've seen them being beaten in blocks of games, in windows. So that ball that goes centre forward for the opposition, that looping kick or that dump kick forward where Collingwood will charge off their men to outnumber.
Yep.
If they lose that ball, they can lose any game.
Yes.
Against good teams, bad teams, in finals or in home and away. They've stacked it so far and they've been awesome. But that's a fine line. That's a small margin.
Yep. The last thing, it's not really a question, it's more of a statement from my mate Hashi, Josh. He wants you to know that he's very thankful for 96 and 99.
He's a Kanga.
Wow, yeah.
There's not many of them around.
No, he just he said he really appreciates. He really appreciates it. Look, man, I'm not going to keep you for too long. Anything else you would like to say on the Pies, or where can everyone sort of find you? The mic is yours, mate.
Not really. Look, I just love, just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. And
I enjoy what you do. I enjoy your commentary. I enjoy your opinion. And it does give us, and I'm just a footy lover like you. I really am. And I've got a role that allows me to do that. And I'm if you were doing it, you'd be doing exactly the same as me. But I love doing this sort of stuff. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll come back after you've won the grand final and we'll do a grand final wrap
here
with you.
Only if we've won it.
But keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I love what you do and I hope this goes well.
No, thanks, Kingy. Again, I appreciate everything, you know, just talking through, you know, on Twitter and stuff and answering those DMs and coming on with me. I'm so thankful and for joining me. You know, First Crack SEN, where we can always find you, and I'm always posting your stuff on Instagram and Twitter anyway. So Kingy, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it, and good luck with the rest of the season, mate.
Good luck for you too, brother. I know you look a bit nervous after a loss, but good luck.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it. Thank you.